we're back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty with you. Dusty is off for the next week and a half. Mac Morey is riding shotgun alongside for the next 10 days or so. Just plug it in there. You got it. I think. I hope. Should be. You got some sound over there?
Yeah.
Talking to the microphone. There it is. Our guy Marlins man, Lawrence Levy, in studio with us. You saw him the other night at the game. And here we are just kind of going through, you know, your era as Marlins, man. It's been over a decade now, and you keep coming back, man. You keep coming back to Kansas City. Why do you love us so much?
I love it because of two reasons equally. One, the amazing history of this city that goes back 100 years that has, and I was doing those moments of things that happened, and so many people in Kansas City don't know how many things happened historic in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing was the people that from the first day I was here, they made me feel like I was part of their family. I can't explain how different that is in other places.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying about the World Cup. There's so much negativity about the World Cup and the hotel rooms aren't filled and this isn't that and this isn't the way we want it. The tickets are too high. I'm like, when people come to Kansas City, they're going to experience the people, and it's going to be a completely different experience for everybody.
Yeah, and the people who go to the World Cup, they expect high ticket prices, and they expect a lot of things they're not going to get in Kansas City. They expect congestion, they expect rude people. That's not going to happen here.
Right.
Everybody, you know, one of the things I noticed when I came here, and the only other city I saw it ever happen in was Cincinnati, was everybody was grateful that people were here. And when the Cincinnati had the All-Star game one year, they were so happy. They treated everybody like, welcome here. We want you to enjoy your time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Kansas City is. And I've come back, as you said, I started coming here in 14, and I came here as a Giants fan, and I left as a Royals fan. True story.
So then where does the Marlins jersey come up then?
Oh, you haven't been watching TV for a while.
He's young. He's young.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen you my whole life. I remember.
Yeah, you might want to Google that. And just there's a lot of videos and stories. But basically, it happened accidentally. The Marlins changed their colors and only wore jerseys that are orange. And now a lot of teams do this to day games. And Jose Fernandez, may rest in peace, and Stanton had decided that they're only going to wear orange at home and on day games. And the Miami Heat got really good with LeBron James and Chris Bosh and Wade. And all of a sudden, they scheduled a playoff game at the exact same time as a Marlins game. So the Marlins knew nobody's going to our game for that. So they moved the game to 1 o'clock, claiming it was weather problems. And there was no weather. And I wore my orange. Now when I go to the arena, it was the very, very first game where everybody's going to wear the same color, but it's because a bank had given white shirts to everybody. Somebody stole my shirt. I walked in, and they were losing the Indiana Pacers by like 14, came back and won. And Mike Miller, who's a Gator, said, hey, wear that lucky orange Gator shirt next time. I go, it's not Gators. Can you read the front? It says Marlins. Oh, yeah, whatever. Just wear it. So they
That's
won
awesome.
Every game I went to. And then my girlfriend at the time, I'm not going to give her name, said in Miami, if you wear that ugly jersey on the Sunday, you're not going to get lucky tonight when we go to dinner. So I didn't wear the jersey. We went to the Heat game, and they lost.
They lost. Did you get lucky, though?
My phone blew up that night, including LeBron James and Chris Bosh wrote to me and said, you better wear that jersey. And I wore it all the way until they finally won a championship the first time with that team. True story.
Wow.
That's how it started.
That is awesome.
Did you get lucky?
But I wasn't
dinner,
Marlins
though?
Man. Oh, you're going to love this. I was the creamsicle.
Yeah.
I was the white orange guy. So I was called the creamsicle wherever I went. Oh, the creamsicle's there again.
That's
creamsicle,
great.
Creamsicle. And then when I got to San Francisco for the playoffs, and I think 12, it was against the Tigers,
mm-hmm.
They changed my name. By the way, that's a great question. When's the last time there was a World Series sweep?
A World Series sweep? I'm going to guess it was that Tigers-Giants one.
Correct.
In 2010.
That was the one with Panda and everything. And that was the one where they had Verlander and they had Scherzer and they were just totally loaded. They were a huge favorite and they got swept.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really taught me the underdog can always do it. Now I come to Kansas City and I'm thinking it's like cowboys and Indians and cattle everywhere from all the movies I've seen. And where's Dorothy and Toto?
Right.
You know? And I was blown away and I was staying in the Sheraton Crown Center where MLB stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the history of it being the Hyatt Regency. So I started doing, and I researched it, and I did a lot of stuff as a lawyer. I got the report, OSHA and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I did a video called Marlins Man Media Moment about the whole thing that happened, how it happened, why it happened,
sure.
And how important it was for law because it started the phrase joint and several liability. And then I started going other places, and I learned about at Union Station, the reason why FBI guys have machine guns and stuff is because when they were bringing some guy to go to prison in Leavenworth, his gang broke him out and had a shootout, yeah. And they had machine guns, and the police only had guns. Everybody got wiped out, and the holes are holes are still there in Union Station. And then I also learned that, like, people don't know the Kemper Arena, which you don't use anymore, was where Ronald Reagan got nominated for the presidency.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Cool.
And then that whole area was called, like, the stockyards, mm-hmm. And it's where everybody stopped to load up their wagon train before they went west to explore.
Yeah.
And this was, like, the main place. And the what I know is the buildings have names on them, and when you Google and read about the names, it's like where all the silver buck things were made. Oh, and then I went over to, when I went to visit the firemen, in Station 10 and 17, who unfortunately passed away, and I helped them out. They said, you should go over with the something in Vine. It's in the song.
Yeah, 18th and Vine.
18th and Vine.
Yep.
And I expected it to be like this whole big neighborhood, you know, from the song, and it's all like bulldozed now.
Yeah.
And I learned that that used to be like a really big part of Kansas City, but they had a fire or something was wood and it burned down. So there's very unique historical things about this place.
There are, yeah.
And every time I come here, I learn something. I learned something this time, which I wrote to you about yesterday.
Yeah, about that fountain. I'd never seen it. And I sent it to Diane Houston, obviously, and she goes, what is this? I got to go do more research. Like, okay. She was hook, line, and sinker on this.
I'm a good beaver.
Yeah, you okay? are. Yeah.
And what I found out is I have never seen a fountain that's two blocks long. It starts on Broadway and 18th. It goes down to Broadway and 19th. And then it turns and goes from Broadway to another thing by gravity. And what it's designed is the water will come running down the whole thing, the whole city block, turn and go the other way. And it's also like gardening there. I go, what's going on? So I wrote to a lot of people, and it turned out that used to be the NCR building. It also was called the Broadway building, and they had a big plaza. Everybody in Kansas City would hang out, and that was the fountain outside that ran all the way, a whole street, and turned. But when they knocked, and there used to be a lot of buildings there, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they knocked down that area and they were building the arts area and all the newer things, they decided to keep that and try and make it something that preserves by nature, self-sufficient city block.
That's cool.
And that's what they're doing there.
That's awesome. I mean, you know more about Kansas City than people lived through their whole lives.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Seriously.
I mean, it's great
awesome.
Stuff. I love the history side.
Right, I heard something. I'm going to ask you. I just heard this today.
All right.
Is it true that the Chiefs are going to be playing Denver Broncos for the first game in the NFL season?
Yes. We don't know where, though. That's the problem.
We don't know where.
We don't know if it's in Denver or here. They haven't announced the location.
So people are asking me, when's my next Chiefs game?
Yeah.
And my answer would Chiefs, not Royals.
Yeah.
Chiefs, my answer would be I would come to that game if it's a night game. I will never do day games anymore.
Why is that?
I get too faint. I don't do good in the heat.
Gotcha. Fair.
And I don't like that at all. So if it's a night game, hopefully it'll be like a Sunday night or something.
Yeah, Monday night
City,
football. It's Monday night, but I'm guessing it's going to be on the road in Denver.
You know, we talked about this at lunch the other day. One of my favorite games of all time had been – the Royals in Houston, when Houston thought they had won, mm-hmm. and they announced they won, and the governor said that.
Right.
But then I came
what
here.
What a jackass. I remember the governor releasing that.
Text out, congratulations for going to the World Series,
yes,
guys.
Yeah.
Oops. So,
Governor Abbott was his name back in the day.
It got replaced by the incredible, which you guys call the 13-second game.
Yeah.
But for the last 2.5 minutes of that game, with the Bills and the
Chiefs. You were at that game, right?
I was 50-yard line, row one, dead center, surrounded by Buffalo fans. What I was telling you is every time they got the lead, they were torturing the Chiefs fans of Vulgar, and there was lots of fights. And the police would come down, and they would take out whoever started the fight. And by the end of the game, the first two rows at the 50-yard line were empty except me. I was the only one left. Everybody else from Buffalo had been arrested and taken outside. And then one of the officers said to me, they won't tell their friends they got arrested. They're all going to tell them they were there for that game.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But that whole thing, and that's when I said, and that's the one with Tyreek Hill. He was still on the Chiefs.
Yep.
Tyreek had run that punt back and everything. And I had never seen so many lead chains as such an emotional swing. The only time I saw something like that in Kansas City personally was the game when they had the ice storm coming.
Oh, yeah, right. That's it.
And it was supposed to be the world's largest ice storm, so you moved the game against the Steelers to the night, and then no storm came.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yep. Well, that game, you didn't score a touchdown, and you only had a couple, you know, like four field goals.
Right.
And then at the very, very end of the game, you scored a touchdown. like a minute to go in the game or so, maybe a minute and a half. Uh-huh. Everybody's celebrating. Yeah, we won. We're going to the playoffs. You know, I got like 80 people I brought to the game. I only knew like 10 of them, but I brought like 80 people to the game at the club level so we'd stay warm. And I'm all excited. We're all high-fiving. All of a sudden, you go, wait. They're not lining up for the extra point. What's going on here? I don't see the flag where we're going on. And, of course, Chiefs didn't win to the Steelers. And that's the video I sent you that I just a little while ago when you catted here. And
that was before that game.
Right, before that game. And we all went outside after the pep rally here with everybody in the band. And we were throwing stuff at the quarterback. The eggs. We were throwing eggs at the quarterback for the Steelers, the big thing outside in the parking lot. So I said, I love this place. This is me.
This is awesome.
I fit in here. This is like being at Florida State. If you ever go to Tallahassee, you're in the middle of nowhere. You got to drive 2.5 hours in every direction to find anything. You are alone. You're isolated.
Yeah.
You got 2.5 hours to Jacksonville. You got 2.5 hours to Alabama. You got 2.5 hours. You're in the middle of nowhere. And when I came to Kansas City, I got that same feeling. Like everybody knows each other. We're all on the same team. I used to have a phrase a long time ago, but when I first started coming here, in New York, they stab you in the back. In Kansas City, they have your back.
Yeah.
And that is what we mentioned. The reason I mentioned, as you mentioned, people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I noticed. And I met everything from, I've met the most richest people here, like let's say Cliff, the homeless people. They're all nice. I brought so many people to games and I've met some of the most wonderful. I'm still friends with so many. I was even looking at my phone. I got like 400 people that are friends of mine in Kansas City. I have like 400 contacts in there. And as you know, not only did I help the firemen, but then they learned what I stood for, which was pay it forward and do good things to people. And then by accident, total by accident, we're mentioning this now because it happened at the game the other day, Hazel Grove Elementary had this girl named Carla, the phys ed teacher, bring to me little cartoons, a whole classmate. So I said, I'm going to go visit them. When I went to visit them, I thought I'm just going to go visit one elementary class. The whole school spent like 2 hours doing skits and songs. Every grade, everybody was doing something. I just started crying. So I said, you know what, guys? And this became my message that was so popular. I was invited to so many schools in Kansas and Missouri that these kids see me on TV. And they kind of like worship me because they see me on TV. They don't know me. And I don't worry about them. And I don't take care of them. And here they are worshiping the Kardashians or LeBron James. He's not going home worried about them. The one that worries about them are their parents and their teachers. And I was teaching the kids, I want you to go home tonight, hug your mom or dad, hug them. I want you to count to three, one, two, three, slowly, and then say, I love you. And then tell them what you want for Christmas. You're probably going to get it. Okay? But that started being my thing. I went everywhere.
Getting emotional. I've never seen you emotional like this.
I know. I was crying. So what happened was kids came up to me on Sunday. You came to my elementary school. You came to Lawton, Kansas. You came to Lawrence. You came to Weston, which is true. Mm-hmm. Okay? You went all over. And I said, when I went to Weston, it was crazy.
Great town.
Yeah. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
It's small.
Yeah. It's nice. It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's small. Yeah. And when I got there, everybody was there. The mayor, the police chief. They closed pretty much the city to have at the high school a rally for me. And they gave me baskets. And I thought I was like, you know, like an ambassador from England showing up to that city. And that's how they treated me.
Yeah.
And so people were telling me, you came to my school. And I went home and I hugged and kissed my mom and dad. And they said, you were right. We seem today with social media. This is the kids talking. Mm-hmm. We seem with social media to worship people we see who we don't even know. And we overlook our teachers and our parents and the first responders who would risk everything to make sure we're okay. Mm-hmm. I used to tell the kids, hey, see that that guard over there? You hate him. He's saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. But if a shooter was here, he'd take a bullet to protect you guys. Mm-hmm. So let's stand up, everybody clap, and thank the teachers and thank the security guards. So I'd have the whole school stand up. And then I'd have them go, let's go, Royals, clap, 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 clap. Right. That was big.
That's awesome. That Marlins awesome. Man in studio. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more with the legend next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Tune in to hear Royals insider Josh Vernier every Monday at 8:20.
Professor Vernier sitting up here, bloviating.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5, The Fan.
All right, we're back at it on a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. Fesco and Dusty with you. Dusty is on vacation, probably touching down in Atlanta as we speak, getting ready to go to Jamaica for the next 10 days. I hope he enjoys every bit of that. Mac Morey is here as well. Mac, we're over here. You can tell Cody to go back to his office spot over there. And Marlins Man is in studio with us as well. Please turn on his microphone so he knows what he's doing. And you were at the game the other night, and you've got 10 straight games, but it's been kind of hit or miss over the last couple of months with you. What's been going on?
Yeah, so I went to opening day in 10 straight days. And then I've had two things that have shut me down in the last few years. One, stupid me. I tripped over a glass bottle, broke my knee in three places, had the same injury like Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. I was in a wheelchair for the rest of the year. And then I got sick with a stomach issue that caused me to have some lung issues, and I actually have surgery coming up.
Yeah.
So I was told by the doctors, don't push yourself. And as soon as you feel tired or shortness of breath, you're done. And I noticed that like 10 days was kind of like my limit. Mm-hmm. So I went out 10 days, stayed home for a couple of weeks, was out for 10 days and things like that. Now, I was asked at the game on Sunday, where have you been? Why haven't you been coming here? Uh-huh. And there's a cute story to that. So I came here, as I said, in 2014 as a Giants fan. I left the Royals fan. And I really wanted the Royals to do really, really good. And then they got to the World Series. And if people remember this, there was a point in the game where Eric Hosmer, and this is extra innings in game six, and Hosmer is on third base. And I told everybody in my section, he's going on the first pitch. He's going to try and steal home. He's going. And they're like, why? What are you talking about? I said, last year, Eric Gordon got stuck on third against the Giants, and he would have scored if he was running. Where I sit, you can't see the outfield.
Right. So you're talking about game five at Citi Field, the last game of the World Series.
Last game of the
one that
game
they
five.
Won.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, right, that one. I'm sorry, five. So, but I was comparing it to game seven the year before.
Yeah.
So Gordon hits the ball, and he's jogging the first.
Right.
It's a single over the shortstop's head, no problem. And then you hear, blah, oh, crap, the outfielder missed the ball. So Gordon starts to run. He turns second, and the third base coach is telling him to stop.
Right.
As he's getting ready to stop, that's what I see, you hear, blah, again. The outfielder missed the ball at the wall. If Gordon had been running to first and kept running, that was an inside-the-park home run with two errors.
Yeah.
Instead, they lost. So I said to people, this coach, who is extremely aggressive, he had convinced the players that I don't care if we're being shut out and no hit for like seven innings, we own the last three innings of a game. Kind of like in football when they put up the four.
Yeah, right.
He had these players believing, we don't care about the beginning. We're going to beat their middle relievers and we're going to beat their closers. Mm-hmm. And they did over and over again. And that's what I saw.
Yep.
And I love that. So sure enough, Hosmer scores, blows up. And then what happens is at the end of the game, I was telling John Holt this, it's all over. All the Mets fans have left. Only Royals fans are left. You don't see this on TV anymore. TV's not broadcasting. And the team comes out on the field, and they take dirt, and they all hug, have their families. We walk outside, and only one single booth is broadcasting, and they're starting to shut down. And a little kid says to me, "Aw, I've never been to New York before. I live in Kansas City. I wish I could see it." I go, "Dude, you're in New York. This is New York City. It's five boroughs, Queens, Brooklyn. Wait, you mean Manhattan? I got an idea. See that train over there? It's a subway. That train? Let's get on it, all of us. Let's go see Times Square." So like 300 Royal fans get on the 7 line. And all you hear on the train, "Let's go Royals." The whole time.
Awesome.
The conductor's like, "What's going on with these people at 2 o'clock in the morning?"
Yeah, because that's when it was. That's about the time I left that ballpark. About
two in the morning.
Between 2 and 3 a.m. I left that ballpark. Yeah.
Do you remember how empty it was? It was dead. And so we get into Times Square, and out comes all these people in blue. They're all in blue. And they're all going around like a kid at Disney World or at Santa Claus, you know, meeting Santa Claus. Like, there's the ball from New Year's Eve.
Right.
There's Toys R Us.
And it's they're like all taking pictures. A couple weeks ago.
And all of a sudden, they start going, "Let's go, Royals." And my freaking phone was dead. I would have videoed it. It was the greatest moment. You got about 300 Royals fans in blue just going around in circles in Times Square.
At 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning, chanting, "Let's go, Royals." Nonstop. So, point of the story is, I forgot about that. I'm at the game Sunday. Guy comes up to me and goes, "God, that was one of my greatest moments ever." I go, "What are you talking about?" "I was in Times Square and he got us all chanting, 'Let's go, Royals.'" I go, "Damn, he's right." So, you know, I have memories like that from being here that are really amazing.
Why do you think those things happen more here than anywhere else? I think because when you got here in 14 and 15, we had never experienced winning, right? 85 was the last time that we experienced anything. And most of us weren't alive back then or old enough to understand it. Hell, I was living in New Jersey. I was a seven-year-old. Like, nobody knew anything that was going on in 1985. So that was our first rodeo of actually winning. Like, it was the perfect, I think, storm for the Royals to win. You showed up here. It just became this huge thing.
And where, then the Chiefs started winning,
And then the Chiefs started to win.
And Kansas City became Wintersville with the Royals and Chiefs. And I just told you in a radio break, boy, it's how you led into that. It's amazing how New York or Philadelphia become Loservilles.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they have fans that are the most obnoxious ever. I mean, not only boo Santa Claus, you know, they always do bad things. Mm-hmm. And Philadelphia, one of my friends is a reporter there, put up a thing. They just got wiped out in the hockey and basketball. The Eagles haven't done good. Look at New York. I mean, how are the Brooklyn Nets doing?
Right.
And, you know, now all of a sudden the Knicks are special. Mm-hmm. And you're right, the coach is there and new, but they made two trades we talked about that turned the team around. They had the guts to trade a guy who's scoring like 25 points a game to get a center with Minnesota. And ironically, it was a win-win for both teams. Minnesota's doing great in the West. And maybe it'll be Minnesota versus the Knicks with the guys who all got traded for each other.
That would be outstanding.
That would be sick, right?
Okay.
A physical
That's
series.
A good story, a physical series. So I, in my heart, I would like the Knicks to go because it'll be fun. But I think OKC is like the team of destiny this year. I mean, nobody's really even put them up to make them try hard. I mean, they treated the Lakers like they were nothing.
Yeah, they're so young when they're ahead of their time. I feel like they've, what, now two sweeps in a row. That just does that is a hard thing to do now, to do it twice in a row. I know they've won a championship, but again, their best players, what, younger than me? 26, 27 years old.
I got more bad news for you. You ready?
Oh, yeah?
Look how many draft picks they have next year and where they are.
I know it.
Because of prior trades they made years ago, they had a lottery pick next year. Mm-hmm. They have their regular pick. They have a lottery pick. So they're really loaded to be good for a long time. And that's one thing that's cool about the NBA that doesn't happen anywhere else. You can literally turn a team around in 2 years, okay? Look at San Antonio. They had the worst record in sports like 3-4 years in a row. They wanted to fire their coach who had been there forever. And all of this, and they had a lot of like top three picks. And all of a sudden, they got the right one, the center.
Mm-hmm. Got Wemby.
I can never pronounce his name
Victor
right.
Victor Wembanyama.
Is that how you pronounce
it? Yeah, Wembanyama.
Okay. So he's turned it around, and now they're a playoff team. So you can see that if you can, in the NBA, because there's only five guys, if you can get one or two guys that are really good, you can totally turn your team around.
Yeah, what was it like in Miami with the Heat thing, with LeBron and all those guys down there? What was that experience like?
Okay, they went from a team that was a winning team because they had a lot of guys they traded to get to them, okay? They went from a winning team to an obnoxious, in-your-face brosh team. And a lot of people didn't like that. LeBron got up there and said, "We're going to get one championship,
two championships,
three, four, five, six, seven." Okay. And he got humbled. In the first one, they lost because of him. Nobody talks about it. Bosch and Wade were spectacular. LeBron was clanking everything, throwing up bricks. He was terrible in the first one. Okay.
Against the Mavericks.
Right.
In 2011.
Yep.
Terrible.
He was terrible.
Terrible.
And when they won the next two, everybody was contributing. But in the last one, they got outcoached. They were playing, who was it, San Antonio when they lost?
2014.
Okay. And they came up with a new offense they never used before. They just kept passing the ball and passing the ball and passing the ball. They would get down fast, run up, not do a layup, run up, stop, and pass the ball. And the Heat were always chasing the ball and chasing the ball. And they had no answer for it. And the Heat also didn't have really good three-point shooters. So what they were doing is they were clogging the lanes so that Dwayne Wade couldn't do his layups. And LeBron couldn't do his layups and his dunks. And they were like double-teaming Bosch and boxing him out so he couldn't be effective. And when they lost, LeBron's contract was up and he said, I'm staying. But I knew he was leaving. I knew he was leaving because I've seen it happen with his mother. And I'm going to tell you this on the radio, it's the first time I've said it. His mom was getting arrested at the Fontainebleau. She had punched the valet, okay? She had punched the valet when she was drunk, when she was there with one of her lovers. And what happened was she got arrested. And Steve, I think his name is Schiffman, like the one here, was for the Heat, had to go pick her up out of the jail, okay, and get her out and make fix everything. Calm down the city of Miami police, not keep it in the paper as much as it was, everything. Well, when she got let out and she was drunk, she goes, I can't wait till my son gets out of here. He hates them. Man. I don't want him around these Jews and these Latins. And this whole city is Jewish and Latin. And I thought, uh-oh, he ain't staying. If his mama don't want him here, he ain't staying. And I told a few people, you know, now it's way down the line. We're talking 10 years later. But that absolutely happened. And I know the people involved who heard it.
Wow. Where does he end up?
He went to Cleveland.
No, where does he end up now?
Where does he go?
Whoever will take his son. Because the Lakers don't want his son.
No.
Okay, the only reason he's there is because of him. You know, that's a great question. Where does he end up? Does he go back to Cleveland? You know, people are saying, oh, we want him in Miami. They don't want him in Miami. The thing that's weird is his jersey's never been retired in Miami. So they've retired Udonis Haslam's jersey before they ever retired LeBron James's jersey. And it's weird because you got Chris Bosh, you got Dwayne Wade, you got Shaq up there, no LeBron James.
Maybe because he's not retired yet. Maybe because he's still an active player.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to be up there.
Yeah.
Has to be.
The Heat did something that's really weird. They retired Michael Jordan and Dan Marino's jersey.
Yes. Very strange.
Wait, the Heat retired Michael Jordan's jersey?
Yes. That's the first jersey they ever retired.
Why? Great question. I'm sure there's a reason.
Before they retired, Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know who Shaquille O'Neal is. It's Shaq.
Right.
They retired first Michael Jordan, and then they retired Dan Marino's. So their jerseys are hanging in the rafters of Marino and Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
That's weird.
It's right. Super weird.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. It's true. If you know,
yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, it is.
And
it
then
is.
Other teams kind of, you know, that kind of led into a lot of teams retiring eventually, the Jackie Robinson and the 42.
And that's great. Yeah.
I love
that. But why? What did Jordan do for Miami?
Beat him drum.
Yeah. But like
all the time.
But why would you retire the jersey of another player like who didn't have a significant historical impact?
I don't know.
Jackie, obviously, we retired Jackie Robinson's number across baseball. But Jordan didn't have the contributions that Jackie Robinson did.
It'd be like the Carolina Panthers being like, yep, yeah, Tom Brady, we're retiring his jersey. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
That's a great analogy. Like, what is Carolina doing?
Right.
What?
Yeah, we know he's the GOAT, but what did he do
no,
for
No, actually, let's use Mahomes. They're going to retire Mahomes' jersey, right?
I like that more.
Denver retires Mahomes' one, right? jersey, right?
Oakland Raiders are going to retire Mahomes' jersey.
That's what that's like.
It's your rival, and you retire the other guy's jersey.
I know. And Marino, too? Did the Dolphins not retire his jersey?
Yeah, what is going on?
I don't know.
So
the Dolphins have not been good since Marino left.
So question for you. And
sure.
You can do it all time. You can do it in each sport. Like, what's the best or most exciting game you've been to? It doesn't have to be Kansas City, just overall. And it could be in each sport.
Well, I tell you right now, the one that I thought was number one was in Houston. To watch a whole city celebrate and think they won going to the World Series.
Phenomenal game. Probably the greatest game that I've been a part of.
If you had to be there to see you don't see it on TV, the emotion and the sound in the stadium.
Yeah.
And then I'll get to it in a second. And then, of course, I talked about the Chiefs game. But recently, Game 7 of the World Series this year against Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay, I never saw the game on TV because I was there. I was there the first two games on my seat behind home plate.
Mm-hmm.
But then everybody in Toronto was giving them crap. They didn't know who I was, and they said, we don't want to sell them again. So the people behind home plate were told, do not sell your tickets to other people, and they didn't. So I was in a suite. And you don't see this on TV, but there were so many times they thought they won the World Series and they were celebrating and starting in game six. If you remember, the ball went into the warning track and got stuck, and they thought they had scored and won the World Series. Didn't happen. And then you remember the play at home plate. From my angle, by the way, from my angle, the guy scored. And you never had the right angle. From my angle where I was sitting, when the guy's foot touched home plate, the catcher's foot was above the base. It went down. But on all of the TV angles, you couldn't see that. So really, Toronto did win the World Series, but it was he was called out at home. And it wasn't enough to overturn it. Okay. And then when the ball was hit to the outfield with the famous catcher, probably going to make a statue of it. When a ball is hit in the air and it's a shot, you think, that's it, we've won. The fans start celebrating and screaming when it's in the air. And then when the guy caught it, it was instantaneous silence immediately.
Wow. Quite an entire
crowd.
So those
are some great games.
That's outstanding.
That's incredible.
He's Marlins, man. You'll be back when to Kansas City? Because you're headed out to Washington.
Yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm going to the games. And then I'm shutting myself down. Mm-hmm. I'm having my surgery. And then I probably won't come back until the All-Star game, which is in the middle of July. I'm going to take like June off with bed rest and stuff. And then I want to come back. I was just talking about this yesterday. I want to come back either end of July or the beginning of August in Kansas City and make that the kickoff for my next 10-day tour.
Gotcha. Awesome. Good to see you.
Love it, man.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for being
coming.
A big part of Kansas City, too.
Thank you. I love it here.
I know you do.
Yeah.
We got to get you to move here. Then COVID happened.
Wait. The way you're reading, that's true. That's absolutely true. I went to every single city. I ain't going to get me for another minute. I went to every city and said, let's see if they know a workers' comp lawyer. So wherever I went, I asked people, do you know a workers' comp lawyer? And nobody did. So I said, I'm going to move here and take over Kansas as the workers' comp lawyer for the whole freaking state. And then COVID happened and shut me down.
Dang.
And then now you see the ads on the people like Hurt at Work, you know, call the judge or whatever. So now they have done what I envisioned I was going to do back in 2020.
Yeah, would have been fun. Thanks for coming in. Enjoy your 10 days. Good luck with that surgery, too.
All right, thank you very much.
Yep. That is Lawrence Levy. He is also known as Marlins Man. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, I have a random discussion that I want to ask everybody, and I think everybody's going to have a different answer. Next.
This is Fesco and Dusty.
Brett Veach has the most underrated chest I've ever seen.
On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Our thanks to Lawrence Levy, Marlins man, for coming in and sharing his time with us here in Kansas City. He's going to go have, I'll be honest with you, some serious surgery, so we all wish him well in all of that. He's had everybody's back in Kansas City. We got his back now as he's undergoing this surgery, so it'll be good to get him through that and get back to good health. But our thanks to Lawrence Levy, Marlins man, always a great guy coming in studio and hanging out with us.
Really fun.
What'd you think? Because you asked him that question, right? You said, why did you start with the Marlins stuff? And he looked at you and goes, oh, you're young, you don't know. And then he told the whole backstory, which I think is important for people to know because, you know, we sometimes take stuff for granted that, oh, yeah, he's been around since 2014. Everybody knows him. Well, no, not everybody does because 2014, guys, is 12 years ago now. Think about how old you were 12 years ago, how old I was 12 years ago. I mean, you know, 50 minus 12, I'm, you know, like 30-something years old, 38, 37 years old, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lifetime has happened since then. And a lifetime for me in those years isn't the same as a lifetime for you, who's been around a lot less than I have.
Yeah, like exactly.
12 years for you is a lot different than 12 years for me. 12 years for my children is completely a lot different. You know, I've got a 16 and a 15-year-old. 12 years for them, they're 3 and 4 when all this
went
on.
They don't even know what that is. Yeah,
they know him, but they probably don't know why he's wearing that Marlins uniform and how all that happened. But I think there are certain things in life that as I'm becoming, you know, a father, not becoming, but become a father and watching you grow up as well, you start to realize certain things that you took for granted because you're older. We just saw that there's a lot of people who don't know these backstories and why certain things are the way that they are. And, you know, he's given a lot of history lessons too. I mean, I'm telling you, he knows more about Kansas City than most people who lived here their whole lives. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, I think that might be a lower bar than we want it to be, but either way, he did set it high. I mean, he knew a lot of stuff. I loved getting to hear all the history and the stuff that he loves about Kansas City that's beneath the surface level, beneath the barbecue and all that stuff.
Yes.
Like how just loving the hospitality that we talk about is because the people here truly are warm. They're great. They're welcoming. They want to learn more about you, and Marlins fan has experienced that firsthand. So it was really cool to hear that about Kansas City. And then just his life, I didn't realize, you mentioned the backstory, obviously, like, I was watching those World Series games, I just moved to Nashville, missed all that, but yeah. I was watching that over in Nashville, obviously, watching every game, rooting for on the edge of my seat, and I didn't realize that was the coming up of Marlins, man.
Really, the true beginning of it, and I remember when he showed up down there, and everybody was, it was a buzz around the city. Of course, who got him on their show? Me, obviously.
Obviously.
Had a connection, had a friend that was sitting down there, said, hey, give him my number, boom, and here we go. And it's been a great 12-year relationship, and the hospitality, we went to Miami for a baseball trip 1 year. Oh, my God. I mean, forget about it, you know? We had the best time that maybe you could ever have.
Yeah.
And it was just fantastic. But, I mean, I think you... You kind of hit the nail on the head there with the he knows so much more than just the surface area of what's going on in Kansas City. And as the text line just pointed out, beneath the barbecue, great name for a podcast from the 417.
Ooh,
that,
nice.
That is really
that
good.
That is good, 417.
Yeah, that is a great name for a podcast, beneath the barbecue. But it's always good to hear somebody else's perspective of our town. And it really happened on a good day because we were talking about the people of Kansas City with the World Cup to start the show today. And Marlins man goes right into how great the people are here in Kansas City. And that's why, again, the World Cup is going to be successful. And also, too, to see him emotional. Like, I get emotional. I'm an emotional type of person. You're an emotional type of person.
Yes.
He's getting emotional talking about all the people that he's able to meet and the people that he's been able to touch over the years here in Kansas City and the impact that he's been able to have. Even if you don't know you're having that impact, you had it. Because in 14 and 15, I mean, it was the Royals were the rock stars of this town. He was not far behind. I mean, I can't tell you how many people used to call me all the time. Can you get Marlins man to show up to this? Can you get Marlins man to show up to that? Can you get Marlins man? And he would.
He
would show up to all the charitable stuff that you wanted him to show up to, and he'd be there, and people would take pictures and flock and just be so grateful because, again, it was the beginning of this new era of Kansas City. It was this era of Kansas City where we went from a city of always going, oh, St. Louis is better than us, Chicago is better than us, we can, it never will, we won't, we can't, we won't. And then the Royals did what they did in 2014, and the entire mindset of the city has shifted. And I do believe that because of the Royals' success in 2014, that's how we are as successful as a city today in 2026, where we're able to get NFL drafts and the World Cup and most likely the Super Bowl when the new stadium gets built out in KCK and the Chiefs open their new place. I mean, 2014 was the groundbreaking moment for when this town turned. October of 2014, we went from a town of wondering, and maybe it's okay, to a town that, up yours, we're kicking everybody's ass and we're taking names, and everybody loves us. And 14 and 15 was just unbelievable. It was phenomenal. And then the Chiefs picked up. And then they carried this momentum up until basically last year. And so we've had 11 years of unbridled, unprecedented, wild success from our sports teams. And now we're experiencing it in other things in Kansas City, from two new stadiums to a new airport to the World Effing Cup coming to Kansas City. And I don't know if we get the ability to do stuff like that and have that ability if the Royals don't start this renaissance in 2014. And I will carry that to my grave. I will say when Kansas City turned around, it was because the Royals won that championship in 2015, but went to the World Series in 2014 and did something that we just never thought was possible. Because before 2014, everybody looked at the Royals, oh, ha, 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 never any good, no good, no good. It's been 35 years, 40 years since they won anything. And then all of a sudden they got into the playoffs and the wild card game happened. And holy crap, did the wild card game happen.
Woo.
Oh my God, still the greatest sporting event, you know, that we've had in Kansas City. It was unbelievable. I mean, nothing is better than that wild card game. We didn't win a World Series in Kansas City. We didn't win a Super Bowl in Kansas City. That wild card game is still unbelievable. It was our first moment. You never forget your first true love. And that's why in 2014 when that ball went down the line and Cologne scored, our lives changed forever. And it was a good thing. Now I'm getting emotional talking about it because of how much sports matters to the fabric of this community and how much sports is important to the fabric of this town. Because without the Royals and Chiefs, we don't know who Marlins Man is. He's not paying college scholarships for kids whose parents died in fires. Like, it's just insane about how sports has brought the fabric of this town together. And that's when people say, oh, sports doesn't matter. Kiss my ass, sports doesn't matter.
Yep,
it is the
100%.
Great unifier
yes.
for any city. Look at what's going on in New York right now with the Knicks. That's a town of 18 million. And they're all coming together because of sports. And it happens to be, too, Mac, when a team hasn't done it in a while, that really galvanizes everybody.
Oh, yeah, man. The underdog, the we can do this as a city. You start to feel it as like you're on the team because you're in the city and it matters. And you just want what's best. And yeah, no, man, it's incredible. And that sort of feeling that happened in 2014, 2015, that happened with the Chiefs a few years later of like, no, dude, we are here. We've arrived. Get ready. This is Kansas City. And that sort of that wake up call is awesome.
But it was a wake up call for the Chiefs, too. I mean, I've told the story. They see the celebration in 15 and Andy Reid looks at Brett and goes, everywhere we go, the baseball team wins. What's it going to take for us to do this? Well, Andy, there's this kid who's a sophomore at Texas Tech that I really like. Brett, go do something else, please. No, Andy, let me tell you about this kid. You want to know how we're going to win? This kid at Texas Tech is pretty good. Brad, I don't have time for this. We got Alex Smith. Yeah. No, Andy, this guy's really good.
Listen
to me. Listen to me. It's like Mac trying to tell me to talk NBA. Listen to me. Listen, it's really good. And so I listened to Mac, and it is. And he listened to Brett, and look where we sit right now. And then they took off because they did. They saw the championships. They go, we want this to be us. We want to do this. Who didn't see that parade and think, holy cow?
Mm-hmm.
And then here we sit, man. It's just been a great 12 years for everything. And Marlins Man has kind of been along for the ride and was here right at the beginning when all of this started. And he kind of just became an honorary Kansas Cityan.
913 would like to point out that Sporting KC started it.
Yeah, they've ended it too.
They sure have ended it.
I mean,
jeez.
I mean, they suck.
It's actually a new level of suck.
Yeah.
It is downright awful. It's depressing.
They lost 6-0 yesterday.
They have already conceded 32 goals in 11 matches. They are giving up nearly 3 goals a match. They're currently on pace to concede 97 goals this season. That would shatter the MLS single season record of 78. They would beat the record of goals allowed by 19. That is over 20% more goals. That's what they are on pace for right now.
Wow. BBL stinky.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got a fun topic on them tomorrow and relating them to some Royals teams that we've seen some Chiefs stuff.
I mean, it's down bad. They went from the premier organization to last place.
I know. And I know new ownership and I know things are changing there. And so they are turning a page. But man, whew.
Ooh, they better turn it fast.
Bleak.
Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan is our weekly edition of Start, Bench, and Cut. That's next.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.